Chapter 1. The March Family. Christmas was approaching, and all the March sisters, Meg, Joe, Beth, and Amy, were sitting around the fire. This year would be different than any other, especially since their father was away fighting in the war. The family didn't have much money, so there likely wouldn't be any presents this year. The sisters grumbled to each other about this fact. You know the reason Mother proposed not having any presents this Christmas? It's going to be a hard winter. She thinks we shouldn't spend money for pleasure when so many men are suffering in the army, said Meg to the others. Mother didn't say anything about our money, and she won't wish us to give up everything. Let's each buy what we want and have a little fun, said Joe. We've each got a dollar, and the army wouldn't be much helped by our giving that. The girls sat knitting while the December snow fell quietly outside. They thought about what they might buy themselves. Each girl felt like she deserved something this Christmas, even if it was just a small gift. Margaret, also called Meg, was the eldest of the four sisters. She was 16 and very pretty, with large eyes and plenty of soft brown hair. Joe was 15 years old and was very tall and thin. She had beautiful long thick hair and gray eyes. Elizabeth, or Beth as everyone called her, was a bright-eyed girl of 13. She had a shy manner and a peaceful expression. Amy was the youngest of the sisters, with blue eyes and blonde hair that fell down to her shoulders. The clock soon struck 6, and the girls got ready for the return of their mother, whom they affectionately called Marmy. Joe put her mother's slippers near the fire to warm them. They are quite worn out. Marmy must have a new pair soon, said Joe to no one in particular. I thought I'd get her a new pair with my dollar, said Beth. No, I will, cried Amy. I'll tell you what we'll do, said Beth. Let's each get her something for Christmas and not get anything for ourselves. Let Marmy think we are getting things for ourselves and then surprise her. We must go shopping tomorrow afternoon, said Joe. There is also so much to do about the play for Christmas night. I don't want to act in any more of your plays after this one, said Meg. I'm getting too old for such things, Joe. But you're the best actress we've got, cried Joe. There will be an end to our little performances if you quit. I don't know how you can write such splendid things, Joe. You are a regular Shakespeare, exclaimed Beth, who believed that her sisters were all very talented. The girls then began practicing their roles in the play Joe had written. It ended in a general burst of laughter. Glad to find you so happy, my girls, said a pleasant voice at the door, and the actors turned to welcome a tall, motherly lady. She was a gentle-looking woman, and the girls thought the gray coat covered the most splendid mother in the world. Mrs. March then began her affectionate inquiries, making sure each of her daughters was getting on well. The girls soon gathered around their mother, who was now sitting comfortably by the warm fire. I've got a treat for you after supper, said Mrs. March with a smile. Is it a letter from Father? Asked Joe. Yes, a nice long letter. He is well, and he thinks he will get through the cold season better than we feared. He sends all sorts of loving wishes for Christmas and a special message to each of you girls, said Mrs. March, patting the pocket with the letter in it. When will he come home, Marmy? Beth asked with a hopeful expression on her face. Not for many months, dear, unless he is sick. He will stay and do his work faithfully as long as he can, answered her mother. After tea, the sisters quietly listened to their mother read the letter from their father. It was a cheerful, hopeful letter, full of entertaining descriptions of camp life and army news. At the end of the letter he wrote, Tell the girls I think of them by day, pray for them by night, and find my best comfort in their affection at all times. When I come back to them, I will be fonder and prouder than ever of my little women. The girls wiped their tears away as Marmy finished reading the letter. Each one resolved to be the best she could while their father was away for a year. At 9 o'clock, the sisters got ready for bed. As they did so, they sang, as usual, and Beth played along on the old piano. It had become a household custom to sing before bed, for their mother was a born singer. The first sound in the morning was her voice, and the last sound at night was the same cheery voice. Christmas soon came and went, and the March family continued to pass each day as usual. Meg worked as a governess, and Jo was her old aunt's companion. She had to read to her for most of the day. Amy went to school, and Beth did housework with Hannah, the family's longtime servant. The cold winter days went by without much excitement until the March sisters met the Lawrence boy.